So we want to start our discussion within the broader context of Basar B'Cholov about Cham and Sonin, about the various principles of Tatoi Gavar, Eloi Gavar. What if you have two things that are near each other? You have cheese and meat and they touch each other. What if the meat, you know, falls into a large amount of cheese or vice versa? What came into what? Was the top one hot or the bottom one was cold? We can also extend this discussion to include kalim. Let's say, for example, you have a kli that was used to cook meat. Can you use it for milk? Obviously you can. But what if you want to use it for cold milk on a temporary basis? We have halacha called hadacha. Or, for example, in Basar, we have halacha called Kedei Klipa. So there's not always an absolute mixture and a taruvos of Nesinas Tam. In some occasions, it's only a partial Nesinas Tam. And that's going to be the case of Tzonim. And that's what we want to study now. Now, let me read to you the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch starts by saying the following. This is Siman Tzadi Aleph in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov. And this is all based on Rishonim on a tour. Basar Ugvina. Now, here you may want to open up the Mishnah on Daf Kuv Zayin of Beis for a moment. Shenagu zebazeh mutarin. So let's assume that both the meat and the cheese are cold, and they came in contact one with the other. So everything is mutar. In order to have the sinas tam, you need a hot. At least one of the two elements has to be hot. But here, both the bas and the gvina are cold. Again, what exactly defines tzonin? That's a separate discussion. Let's say it's less than yatzo lesbo, I don't know. But he says, el tzarech, even though everything is mutala diach makom negiyasam. You'll have to do hadacha to rinse off the place where they had contact with each other. The meat and the milk. Then he adds another halacha which we saw in our perek. Umutal lotzer al something the tachas achas velochai shinon shema yigu zebozeh. So you can wrap it up in a way that the meat is completely surrounded, and so is the milk, so there's no contact. And if you'll say, but maybe it'll get unraveled and then the meat will come to touch the milk, well, we don't have to worry about that at this point. Because even in the worst case scenario, all you would need is hadacha. So we avoid situations which might come to bishul, when as a result you would need to be mevatel the tarovas. But if you don't need bitul tarovas, because even in the worst case scenario, the gvina and the basa touched each other, you would still not require any sort of iser. There's no real nesinas tam. If everything's cold, you would only require hadach.
It's cold.
Because everything's cold.
And because it's not liquid?
You're going to talk about the lach balach. I don't know, did I photocopy that for you, the case of lach balach? No. Okay, there's a discussion here about lach balach, but I don't think we'll get to it today. All right. Now, if you take a look in the Taz for a split second, Sifkat and Aleph, after quoting the tour which we saw codified here in the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Lahakshos, my Shmamina Dika Omar, Ha. He the behedge amriv masnisen ubavach lo yunogim zebozeh. He's saying the following: that you have to wrap it up in such a way that it won't come to negir.
Because if it did come
to negir, then you would require hadacha. And the language of the Torah seems to indicate shmamina, if you look at those two words, shmamina, that he is formulating halacha, which is a logical derivation from the Mishnah. Not that it's explicit in the Mishnah, but shmamina, if you understand the underlying logic. So the Taz is bothered because the Mishnah says explicitly that lo yu nogim ba, so you have to wrap it up in a way that you guarantee they won't touch. So now you're going to formulate this shmamina that whenever you're putting in, you know, whenever the situation would require adacha, you have to avoid that situation. L'katkilo. I mean, that's exactly the case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking the pace of wrapping meat and milk in such a way that they don't touch each other. Because we're not going to allow you to touch each other and then say, oh, I'll do adacha, I'll rinse it off afterwards. Yeshlova da'ava mina. Dafka basu gvina atzman, avol bekli shalahem ein sarich lizor. Well, this is very important because now we're getting to the whole issue of whether or not you're allowed to use a kli in an iser kind of situation, but everything's cold and the kli itself lechora would require hadacha. So, for example, if you take a look at the Machaber in Sif Beis, he says, "Kol midi deboy adocha kigon lohaniach basar heter tzonen bekara shel iser tzonen." So you have a treifa pot, and you want to put cold meat into a treifa pot. He says, "Asul lechatchila." Why you're not allowed to do this? Because dilma achil below adocha.
Lohadacha meaning the meat itself that you put into the tray pot
will require adacha. Maybe you'll eat the meat without doing adacha. So we're not going to let you put the meat inside the kli, even though it's tzonein, there's no blia. But we're afraid that since the Rabbanan required hadacha, you might not do adacha. Don't put yourself into a situation where you'll require adacha. You'll say, don't worry about it, I'll take care of the adacha. We try to avoid that. L'chatchila,
yeah.
Right, we want to avoid it. L'chatchila. So therefore you should not place basar heter, even though it's tzonein, into a karashel isur tzonein. Dilma ochel below adacha. We're afraid you might eat it without adacha. Then the Mechaber qualifies, and he says, V'dafka mevushal delav urche behadacha. He says, if you have a piece of raw meat, you're going to definitely rinse it out before you start your cooking. But if you have a piece of meat that's already been, it already was bolea tam, so that's called basar chai. No, I'm sorry. Again, let me just go over this one more time. He's differentiating between basar mevushal and basar chai. That in a case where you have something called basar mevushal, then lav urchi, we have to worry about the fact that you'll serve it or eat from it without adoch. But there are certain things that you wouldn't even dream of eating without adoch. You have raw meat, they rinse off raw meat. That was, you know, for many different reasons, they rinsed off raw meat.
Right, cooked meat you wouldn't want to rinse.
You wouldn't want to what? Say it again?
You wouldn't want to rinse cooked meat.
That's not normal, to take cooked meat and rinse it. You're just going to make it soggy, you know, it's antithetical, it's not to add something to the taste. So don't put cooked meat into a cold pot that's treif, because you'll require hadoch. Now, if you take a look at the Taz says the following, Aval kli shalahem ein tzarech li zoher. You might think in the Havmina that as far as Kalim, you don't have to be careful. Komash v'lon, the kol mini deboy adocha, afilu b'kli, you're not allowed to put it in that situation, l'chat chilu. And this we're going to derive from Abaye. The he, the kli polo boy adocha mi, adocha mi aboy. That there are situations in which you wouldn't require k'day klipa because there was no two hot substances that came into contact, but nevertheless you need hadoch. And then he writes midatoli tama ba'adoch memele kol midi to be inen hadoch shoven he. Now let me ask you a question. When the Torah, when the halacha requires hadacha, let me give you two possibilities. Is it A, that if you didn't do hadacha, then you're not allowed to eat it? Or B, you can eat it, but you violated, so to speak, this chiyuv hadacha? If you take a look in the Taz, he says, Amai chayshina kan dilma ochil below hadacha, even the ochel below adocha ein iser. He's saying the following: that when does it make sense to say that avoid X, avoid the following situation if you can, because you'll require hadocha as a result? That only makes sense in a case where you're not allowed to eat it without hadocha. But in a case where you're allowed to eat it without hadacha, he says, "Kevan di ocha below hadacha ein isur." So why do we have to be choshesh for something that if we do it without, if we omit or ignore hadacha, we still don't violate any isur be'achilosa?
So it's just a preference, as opposed to an actual din.
Yeah, it would make sense that you know there's a preference to do adach, but then tell me I can't put it together because I might not do that preference, you know, that extra, I might not go the extra, you know, mile, the extra yard. Amai chayshina came in dilma ochel. You're afraid that what? That it'll eat it? Pull out adacha? I came in the ochel below adacha in Isra. The chachamim never imposed an Isra achila on something that requires adacha. We'll soon see later on, but when you need kedei klipa, let's say in a situation with this cham, if you cooked it without doing the klipa, then it might be mutter. So here too, what he's saying is that it's like a gzera to say, well, don't do this because you won't do hadacha. And so what if you don't do hadacha? Is anything terrible? If you ate it without hadacha, you didn't violate any iser.
All of this netinat chizuk ledivrehem.
Right. But again, it's a question of how far you're going to go with Chachomim Asu Chizuk L'Divreim. I mean, to go as far as to say that you can't put it in a cold pot because you might eat it without a docha, when eating without a docha is not an Iser per se. So what I'd like to do with you is try to go through this essay here, which you'll see is Simon Samach. And he quotes the tour, Kol midi deboy adocha, kigon boser heter, tzonen, hanita and bekara shall iser tzonen. So you have a treifa pot, as we would call it. Now you want to put kosher meat in the treifa pot. Awesome. You're not allowed to do such a thing, lechatchila. Because of Dilma Achil below Hadocha, you might eat it without Hadocha. V'chein Pasuk HaShulchan Aruch. Now the Ramah adds a comment here, which we didn't get a chance to see. Let me read to you the Ramah. Ramah says, V'dafka, when do we say you can't put yourself into a situation where you require adacha? That's only davar sheyesh bo lachluchas ktsas. You know, not talking about a dry piece of meat, and certainly not a dry milk or cheese. Aval davar yavish mamish. Davar yavish mamish im lo bola hakli rak mitzone mutel anipolah. Wow.
Mutter.
So Ramah saying that it all depends upon how the Kli received that original Bliya.
You're talking
right?
About...
Right? In Kli Rak Tzonim, right, so the only Bliya that was in the Kli was Tzonim, mm-hmm. is then, as far as the Dover Yavish is concerned at least, you're allowed to put a Dover Yavish in this Kli and you don't need Hadacha at all.
And would it make a difference if we're talking about a davar asur like nevela in this kli, or chalav, or gavina, you know, something that is mutter but not with the thing that you're dealing with now on the other side, the basar.
Right, right.
Is there a difference? I mean, how did you get a treif pot to begin with? Lo tishachin bi'alecha avla.
Very good. Very good. As far as I can tell, there would be no difference between the two. He does quote in the next piece, which is about Sonim, some difference between Bas B'cholav and other Isurim. But I don't know if we're ready for that yet. So let's assume for argument's sake that there's no difference here as we build up these principles of when you're allowed to use a kli isur and not. It makes no difference whether it's bas b'cholav or shar isur. It's not like chatich anas nevela where we... So again, let's go over this. Kol midi deboi hadocha kigon basar heter tzonim hanita bekarash al isur tzonim osu l'chatchilo litein echad b'toch hasheni. So here he's talking about a karashal isur. He's not discussing basa b'cholav, but let's assume the same principles will apply. And he wants to put his meat, which is absolutely cold, into some sort of a kli. And that kli is a karashal isur.
Right.
But everything's cold. You know, you asked before about how he has a karashal isur. Let's take, for example, in Malicha, he has a receptacle that's dedicated for Malicha. And the dam goes through into the pores it. Into oh, it and goes in. Okay. Now, that's something that he has accessible. Can he use that kara, which is now cold, for a piece of cold meat? And in this case, he would need hadacha. So therefore, chatchila, we're going to tell him he's not allowed to put this dry meat of basa shchuta, which is absolutely cold, into a cold treifa pot or treifa pan, because we're afraid he won't do
hadacha.
So Ramah says that only applies if there's lachluchis ktsas.
Yeah.
Avol davar yavesh mamish im lo bola hakli rak pitzonim. Right, this is the Ramah. Mutal aniyach bo davar yavesh below hadocha klal. Now I give you the case before about the malicha. I don't know. That
is
might be
malicha considered.
Rotsea. So maybe it's
yeah.
Malia, right. It's Malia Harei Kurosev. So that's a separate sugya unto itself. But if we assume that, then there'll be a problem of using this kli.
Yeah.
But let's say, for example, yayin. Now, I can't promise you that there's no heat in yayin. But let's say you have you know, various containers that have wine in it. You have cups that you use to drink wine from, you know, wine glasses and so forth and so on. If you were to assume, if you grant me that assumption, that those wine glasses are never used for hot wine, and we're talking about Yain Nesach or Stam Yeno, then would I be allowed to use those glasses that I use for Yain Nesach and put inside that glass my kosher wine? And you'll tell me, well, on the one hand, l'chora, you're allowed to do so because it's a kli that is used b'tzonin, correct?
Would you say it was a kli cheres instead of a glass?
Kli cheres might be a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, glass is not balea.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Right. So again, I'm talking about something that's used for wine, and it's always
a metal canister.
And it's always cold. So l'chora, you would have said that in such a case, you're allowed to put whatever, you know, drinks that you want to drink that are kosher into that trefa canister, because that trefa canister was never bolea It was always used for tzonin, you know, for regular room temperature wine. Now, he's saying here that if you're going to put basar heter tzonin in a karashal iser tzonin, that he might come to eat it without hadacha. Let me just see. The case that I gave you before, Dilma Asi Lemichli below hadacha. Did you ever see such a thing where people put matzah into a kli that's designated the whole year round for chametz because everything is dry?
Then you have
everything is cold.
That's ridiculous.
Correct. Okay. So again, if it's, I just want to get the rules once more down pat. If it's a kli that's used only Bitsonin, Tobiyovish Mamish. Oh, okay, let's take a case of a kli that's used for storage. Do you follow what I mean? It's a kli otsar that you use to keep your food inside the kli. One second. Dafka Shayeshba Avoldova Yovish Mamish. He makes two conditions. Is he never used it for Issa. If he never used it for Issa in Cham, but he only used it in Tzonen. So wait, where's the difference here between Lach and Yovish? I thought he was making a difference between where the original Blia was a Blia Mamish, meaning Becham, or whether it's a Blia Bitsonin. But now he's distinguishing between Lachluchis and Yovish. There are two different factors here that are interplaying. you know, overlapping. There's the factor of Yavesh versus Lachluchis, and then the question of whether the Kli Iser in its original form was Bolea Becham, or it was only used for Tzonen. So if, let's say, it was only used for Tzonen, then we're allowed to put, let's say, a loaf of bread inside this Kli, because the Kli was only Bolea Betzonen. Now, what does he say about lachluchis? That if it's a davish yesh lo lachluchis ktsas, avol davi yavish mamishim lo blo akli rak vitzonein mutal aniach bo davi yavish b'lo adoch akla. So he seems to have two conditions here. Number one, that the Blias Isa in the Kli was only Bitsonin. And number two, what he's putting into the Kli is Yavesh. He seems to require both conditions, am I right? We ain't Zek Kosva Tosis Lavodah Zara, Vishem Ravenu Tav, Dikteros, Habluos, Mibosa Bechola, Vaideshis Vashal Behem, Mutar Lahasim Bitochan. Dover sheish lo mat muta lo hasim betochem dover yavesh kigon tvua, but not liquids. Chen bekederos hasuros mishum chavis pesach muta lisnas dover yavesh.
Two different issues.
Yeah,
the heat is a bria issue, and the lach is a. Like a klipa issue.
Is he saying something that a liquid is not subject to hadocha? If you have a bosa yovesh, you can talk about hadocha. You can't talk about hadocha
in a liquid.
So now you're going to tell me that you put a dover yovesh into a kli isur bitzonen, and that's okay. Mutalani po dover yovesh, says below adocha klal. Fine. Umi ein ze kosva tosla vodazor b'shem, but then the gderos ablus mi bos b'chol vayideshin is bashal b'hem mutalahasim b'tochan dover yovesh kigon tvua. Again, Rabbi Nadam doesn't point out here that the original bishul. Just 1 second. That even though the kderos ablus mibos b'chol yedeshin is bashal behen, is mutter lahasim b'tochan dover yovesh kigon tefua. You're allowed to put tefua if it's dover yovesh, even though there was a bishul. Isn't that against what he said before? Before, I thought he had to have two conditions. And one of them was that the blia nakara was bitsone. Not sure. So since we only have 15 minutes left, let's fast forward to the flip side, and hopefully we'll come back to this tomorrow. So basically, what we have for tomorrow is Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramah of a situation of putting Dover Yavesh into a Kli that might require Hadocha. Okay, we'll talk about that B'li Neder tomorrow. Now he has a Gemara about Tatoi Govar. Itmar Cham L'toch Cham Diriakol Osu Tzonin L'toch Tzonin Diriakol Mutu. Cham l'toch tzonein v'tzon l'toch cham rav amir yiloa govar shmuel amir tatoi govar. So in a case where something cold falls into a hot pot, Shmuel is going to say everything is osur, unless you have bittul. Why? Because if it's going into a hot pot, that's called tatoi govar. Rav on the other hand says Eloi Govar. So for example, if you were to pour hot milk into cold meat, according to Rav, that would be a serious issue of Basa Bechala. Now again, I'm not sure exactly what does it mean that one went into the other and one is on the bottom. What if they're near each other on the same plane? What's that called? I don't know. But basically, we're talking about an issue here in which we know that there's some heating going on. Something is getting hot, but it's not necessarily your standard kind of bishul. And in this case, with this hot going into cold or vice versa, you have to ask yourself, well, what's going on here? Is this a heating process or a cooling off process? So, for example, let's say this cup has hot water in it, right? It's too hot for me to drink. So I pour cold water into the hot water. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm cooling off the hot water. And that's called Eloi Gavar. So the cold goes into the hot, and that's Rav Shita. Then you're cooling off the tatoy. And Shmuel says, that may be your intention, but what you're really doing is you are heating up that which you are pouring in. So Shmuel is going to say,
on Shabbos.
And you could have the same issue on Shabbos, whether it constitutes bishul.
Exactly.
So whereas Rav is going to say that the hot on top cools off, I'm sorry, the hot on top heats up the cold on the bottom, Shmuel is going to say the hot on the bottom will heat up the cold on the top. On top meaning going into it, right? Now here we have a Ran in the name of the Ra'ah. When do we say that Sonem L'Tocham is Asur? Right, this is the Shita Shmuel et HaToy Govar. Hainu Deboi Netilas Mokom.
Is that Klipa?
Yeah, that's Kedei Klipa.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Kedei Netilas Klipa.
Right.
So what he's saying is that Shmuel didn't go as far as to say Tatoi Gover, that's Bishol Mamish, but rather it is Bishol to the point of Kedei Netilah. And that's the Ran in the name of the Ra'ah. But the Ran himself argues and rejects this. Usvile de Dafka Bitzli, Hu de Amrina de Loboy El Kedei Netilah. Where do we find in Shas the concept of Kedei Netilah? It's only with regard to Tzli. Aval Bibishol Kulo Asur. Why? Because Tatoi Govar. So Tatoi Govar means we have a full-fledged Bishol over here, and everything's Asur. We'll see it's a little bit different in the case of Tzli, where there is no medium of a liquid. And he says that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Tzadi Aleph Sif Dalet. Let's just turn the page here to Siv Dalet. He says, "Basar tzonein l'toch cholav roseach, or cholav tzonein l'toch basar roseach, hakol asur, mishum detatoy gavar." So there's no kedei klipa in a case of tatoi gavar, because tatoi gavar is bishul mamish. But the problem is, how do we understand the Ra'ah? That's what Rav Soloveitchik wants to understand, because the Ra'ah says that even in the case of tatoi gavar, all we need is the tilas klipa.
Yeah. But that's a contradiction. We just said that Shmuel holds that it's low bishul mamish. And now you're saying that in Tzadi Aleph Dalet, Shmuel says that it's Bishul Mamish, which maybe I heard it wrong.
No. I'm, what I'm saying is that the Mitzius, this is not, this is not the way you're going. Because when you mix hot and cold, the hot gets cooler and the cold gets hotter. But it could be that since the Torah recognizes an Iser Bishol, let's say in case of Basar B'chol or Shabbos, if I hold Tatoi Gavar, this is Bishol. You know, follow what I mean? It's a Maisa Bishol.
Yes.
The Ra'ah says a little bit different. The Ra'ah is saying that all you need as a result of this quasi Bishol is the Tilas. Latilas Makom. Why should that be so? In other words, Tatoi Gavar means, the Ran is very logical, it means that it's Bishol. If it's Bishol, then it's all awesome. He says, Ubedasara Nira Loma Dispirule Tehechishanaka Tatoi Cham Lo Mikri Bishol. Because again, if it was Bishol, then everything would be awesome. Why is he saying all you need is Kedei Netila? El Roseach, the Ein Roseach Oser El Kedei Netila. Now again, when you talk about Roseach, you're not talking about Bishol at all. Right? You're talking about two, let's say, hot substances that are dry and they come in contact with each other. But in such a case, you can talk about Kedei Netila. But here we're not talking about two dry substances. V'hine isa v'chulim, the Omer Shmuel, dogim sha'ol v'kara, mutali ochlon v'kusach. Right, this is what you call not bar not. Because of atosvis, the olu pirsho she'echadim tzonen v'echad cham. So according to Tosfos, what it means by olu, dogim sha'olu v'kara, it means that one of them is cold and one of them is hot. Od hevi, sharivan v'shem Rashi, didafka olu. Avol nisbashlu, hadogim v'kara, shel bas osol yochlo v'kusa. But what does it mean, olu? Olu means that something fell into something else. And that's what we call tatoi gavar. That's called dogim sha'olu bekaro. Im nisbashlu hadogim bekaro, then osu liochlo bekusach. I don't think we pass like this, but in any event, that's the Rivan in the name of Rashi. Harei shegam Rashi mechalik ben bishul gomer leben bishul de tatoi gova. So Rashi is saying that olu means that one fell into the other. Let's say the dogim fell into the basar. As Rashi says, in such a case, it's only called Tatoi Gavar, and that should not be identified as Bishol. And therefore you're allowed to eat this combination with Kutach, with milk. We have now a parallel between the Ra'ah as far as Netila, and Rashi as far as the difference between Tatoi Gavar and Bishol Mamish, with regard to eating the what was parvo with milks. So if what was parvo, we'll call dogim, fell into a kairishal basa, which is called tatoi gavar, then you can still eat the dogim with fish, even though it fell into a hot pot of meat. So obviously Rashi's holding that Tatoi Gavar is not Bishul Mamish. And the same derivation we can apply in the Ra'ah's frame of reference, that if Tatoi is Gavar, you don't need Bittul or anything like that. All you need is Kedei Klipa.
He's always using things that are not sources of heat, like a Davar Gush. And today we know that heat rises.
All right.
know, then you bring up a whole new discussion here about Tamar Gush. You know, I don't know if Tamar Gush is mavashal or not.
But it's a source of heat. It's considered a source of heat.
Like, but are we talking about a Tamar Gush
there?
When he says that, let's say, for example, Tzonein fell into Cham, right? Is he talking about a Tamar Gush? You just think for a second. Yeah, Lechorot should be able to. Yeah, why not? Maybe. Ah, but wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out. Because if what you're saying is so, then we have a new pshat in Rashi and the Ra'ah. And maybe they're holding this is not called Bishul because it's a Dabar Gush. Although I always thought a Dabar Gush could be Mavash.
That's the whole point.
That's only within Sonim Letocham and Eloi Govar, Tatoi Govar Shmuel.
Right.
So Sonim Letocham, if you activate Shmuel's principle of Tatoi Govar, you're telling me that there's a Bishul process here going on? Lechor, it's not Bishul. If it's a Dover Gush is not Mevashel. It does give Tam, but I wouldn't call it Bishul. Again, all we know so far is that this machlokas rishonim whether or not tatoi govar is considered bishul, and the nafkamina is that if you hold it's bishul, then everything becomes osur unless there's bitul. Whereas if you hold it's not bishul, then it has a din of roseach, and all you need is kedei netila. And Rashi says that the reason why dug him all of a kara is mutar bekutach is because tatoi gover is not bishul, and the Rav wants to suggest that according to Rashi, in the case where you cooked the dogim in a karashal basa, you would not be allowed to eat those dogim with kutach because that's bishul mamish. But let's say, for example, you didn't cook them together. It was just a situation of dogim into basar, where it was tzoreg letocham, and we're going to apply the principle of tatoi gover. That doesn't constitute bishul. And therefore, all you would need is kedei klipa, kedei netila. So basically, what Rav Soloveitchik is doing here is he's identifying the Ra'ah with Rashi as one conceptually shita. And the issue is going to be whether or not it's bishul. Do we say that tzonei letocham is bishul mamish? And that's what Shmuel means by tatoi govar, that everything can become osur. Or do we say no, that tzonei letocham, although Shmuel says tatoi govar, he doesn't mean to say it's bishul. He means to say it's like a roseach. What's going on is there's a heating process going on. And when whatever on the bottom heats up whatever on the top, you're going to require kedei netila. And that's going to be true in Rashi's frame of reference in the case of dogim shalom bakara, that since you cooked, you didn't cook the dogim bakara, but it was olu bakara. And olu means that there was hot on the bottom, cold on the top. It was a situation in which Shmuel says, tatoi govar. In that context, all you need, according to Rashi, is kedei netila. But you'd be allowed to eat that fish with what? With fleishniks. Well, with vilchiks, actually, I should say.
All right, stop.